Hi, and welcome to today's edition of It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.L. Rich. Thanks for tuning in today. Today is Monday, September the 28th of 2015. I pray that you had a blessed, blessed weekend and that the remainder of your weekend continues to be blessed as well. Before we begin today's broadcast, I would like to invite you to visit me on my new website at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. On my website, you can view previous, you can actually listen to previous ministry broadcasts, as well as get books for your entire family. And if you are not reading my blogs, you are missing a blessing. You can go on my website as well and read my daily blogs I do Monday through Friday. So again, that's www.klrichministries.com. Now, as a reminder, for those of you who may be new tuning in, thank you for tuning in. I'm going to be switching from Blog Talk Radio onto my direct website. So you will be able to listen to my broadcast on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And I'll only be at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific. However, due to this new change, you do not have to wait to 7 p.m. to listen to my broadcast. I will have my broadcast actually posted where you can listen to it after at least by 12 p.m. in the daytime. And then on Sundays, I normally be broadcasting at 12 p.m., but the broadcast will be posted by 12 p.m. That means that you can go to my website, click on the radio broadcast tab, and it will immediately start playing the day's broadcast, whatever I brought for that particular day, as long as it's been uploaded. I always have the dates on there so you can see. I believe I have the dates on there. If not, I'm going to make sure I start putting the dates on there so you can see whatever the broadcast was for that particular date. Again, that's this is the new change that's going to be. And it's right now I'm still broadcasting on Blog Talk, but I'm switching it to where it's going to be directly coming from my website. So you can listen to these broadcasts at any time you get ready. And also, you can still go to YouTube if you want to go to YouTube. I'm not taping live on YouTube, but you can press the play up on the Evangelist K.O. Rich, Evangelist K.O. Rich, and you can listen to the radio broadcast that way as well. Again, that's at klrichministries.com. You can also listen to it from your phone. Now, if for some reason you don't have the ability to be able to listen to these broadcasts via your phone or whatever your device, because sometimes you have to download certain things where you can listen to audios, then you can always go to YouTube and listen to it as well. Okay, we have a ton of headlines, but before we get into those headlines, I would like for us to still keep our fellow brothers and sisters who are being persecuted in Christ. Keep them, please, keep them lifted up in your daily prayers. They need our prayers. Pastor Saeed, who's in Iranian prison, American, he's been there for 3 years. I believe this came up on the 30th anniversary of him being in an Iranian prison. Last week, we read an article about him being tasered. And so we want to pray for his peace, his strength, his endurance, and his release. We want to pray for his release, that he be released from jail and be able to go back to his family, along with, I believe, 3 other Americans who's in the prison with him. Also, we want to pray for those who are being persecuted in countries like China and in different Iraq, different countries where Boko Haram in Nigeria, places actually in Africa, where Boko Haram and different terrorist organizations who are so anti-Christ and they're willing to kill just for to eliminate the body of Christ. So we want to keep them in mind as well. This needs to be our daily prayer. I know a lot of people get caught up in the things of life, but the thing is that life as we know it here in the United States is ending for us, our freedom of religions. And so many people are caught up in the television and what's on scandal and umpire and all of these garbage. And the devil is using the tube in order to get into the Christians. And we, yes, he already has the world, but he's using the tube. And I was reading the other day that someone was breaking down about empire. Actually, it was an article. And I'm going to actually read that. I'm going to go to my Facebook page and read this article about, it's about the maker of empire. And I have never watched a show. But the thing is that a lot of Christians are watching this show. And this show, I'm going to read about this show, because so many Christians are watching it. And we need to be careful with regards to what we are entertaining into our homes. Because one of the reasons that the gay agenda was actually able to progress the way it did, was because of the shows that are on television. I was reading an article and they said that the shows on television allowed them to be able to further their cause. And so, were we responsible as well, Christians, for being able, for helping them to further their cause? I do believe so, because anytime when you're watching Empire, you're entertaining their agenda. And this is why you don't see a lot of uproar when it comes to Christians, because what the devil does is he takes what he puts on the television. And he knows it's going to cut, you know, you're going to cut it on and say, oh, it's a show. And before you know it, he got you sympathizing with the gay agenda, because guess what? You're seeing it on the screen. So instead of it being where it used to be not normal, now it's normal because I see it on TV anyway. So what I see on TV is normal in real life. When I'm singing them the music, I'm singing it so it's normal in real life. When, you know, it's something, and the thing is, this is how the devil gets you. He's conniving, and so therefore the Bible says he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he's not coming at you with arrows in a way of something that you're going to expect. He comes at you with your least expectation. And a lot of times the devil is able to get Christians based up on what they're watching on television. That's a Christian's downfall. The television and the music. No one can tell me that when you're, say for instance, like Dedrick Haddon, and you're listening to Usher, I can't remember the song, Climax. Yeah, Climax. And if you're listening to this song and you're going to say, okay, I'm going to rewrite it so I can make it into a Christian song, what is actually getting into your spirit as you're listening to these songs? And as we know, Dedrick Haddon had his own indiscretion. Could it be that he was listening to this music and this spirit of lust, and all this, these lust demons was inside of him as he's listening to this stuff. And so therefore, I mean, come on now. See, the devil, what he does is he tries to make a copy of either God's work, or he tries to tell Christians, you could copy my work and just put God's name on it. See, he's getting a lot of Christians that way. He's getting Christians where we are, Christians are borrowing from the devil, which we shouldn't be borrowing anything. And some people are like, oh, I'm going to take from the devil and make it. You can't take from the devil and put God's stamp on it. See, that's how the devil is deceiving the masses. And so we got to be careful with that. Okay, I was not meaning to get into all of that, but you know what? I guess it was meant for it to be said. So let's get into these latest headlines. So many headlines. California lake dries up overnight, leaving thousands of fish dead. The power company with water rights to the lake blames drought, but a neighbor says the explanation sounds fishy. Residents of the Layson County, California are baffled by an artificial lake dried up seemingly overnight, leaving thousands of dead fish across 5,800 acres of mud. Something went haywire, Aaron Sundel, the local water quality committee chairman, told the Sacramento Bee. People were fishing at Mount Meadows Reservoir, also known as Walker Lake, on September the 12th. Eddie Bauer, who lived near the lake in his whole life, told local news station KTVN. By the next day, he said the lake was totally dry. Thousands of rotten fish remained more than a week later. Okay, so, and this took place in California. So they're saying that overnight, September 12th, overnight, the water was gone out the lake. Now, they're saying that it was due to Pacific Gas and the electric company that actually drained the lake. They drained the lake on purpose because they wanted to avoid the hassle of relocating fish. Now, if they did this on purpose, that's a shame that they did this. They killed thousands of fish. And this is over 5,800 acres of mud. And if you had seen these pictures of all this dead fish, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. Okay, we're going to move on because we're now, again, we're keeping this within an hour of your time. So we're no longer going to be going an hour and a half. We're going to be just doing an hour of news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And then we're going to go to the Word of God. All right, moving on. Asteroid that can wipe out London on course for hair-raising pass of Earth in 5 days. And it's probably less than that. Actually, it's by Wednesday. An asteroid big enough to destroy London will make a nerve-wracking close pass of the Earth in just 5 days. The Space Rock 2015 SZ2 is one of 6 near-Earth flybys due on Wednesday. But while most will pass by several million miles away, it is estimated that it will be on an orbit of just 309,000 miles. Only 1.3 times the distance from the Earth to the Moon. Okay, so 300,000 miles. That you might say, oh, that's a lot of miles. Actually, it's not. Not for something that large to be passing by Earth. So, you know, the NASA, they, oh, don't worry about it. It's going to pass one of these days. And I don't know. I'm not a prophet or anything like that. But I'm just saying, one of these days, it may not pass. It's only by the grace of God that these asteroids have been passing like they have. Okay, moving on. Pope tells family that drove from Argentina to see him in Philadelphia, they're crazy. I would agree. This family, Cater Walker and his wife, Noelle Zimmerman, heard that Pope Francis was coming to visit the United States. They decided they were going to see him, even if it meant driving 14,000 miles from their home in Argentina. Really? So they drove all this way. Now, I'm going to read this whole article, but you know what the thing is? And I posted this question on Facebook. Would they have driven 14,000 miles to see Jesus? I pray that they would have. But see, the thing is, they drove 14,000 miles to see just a mere man dressed up in a cape, in a robe, okay, with a hat on, whatever you call them things. They drove 14,000 miles to see this Pope, this false prophet. But then Jesus is right there. See, you don't have to drive to see Jesus. You don't have to go nowhere. You don't have to go out your living room, your kitchen, your bathroom, your car door. Jesus is everywhere we go. We don't have to drive to go see Jesus. But this couple drove 14,000 miles with their kids, Lord, to see a false prophet. Signs of the time, the end of the age. You know, many people are being deceived. Moving on, Germany launches investigation into resigned Volkswagen CEO. German prosecutors opened a criminal probe into former Volkswagen CEO Martin Winterkorn on Monday, following the company's recent admission that it had installed software to cheat on emissions tests in roughly 11 million of its diesel cars. All right, so there's an investigation going on with Volkswagen. Volkswagen is in a lot of hot water right now. The CEO is being investigated. So Volkswagen was always known to be top of the line. But, you know, it lets you know that you can't put your trust in things. You definitely need to have your trust in God, not in material possessions, but in God. All right, moving on. Now, I'm going to read to you this article that I found online, and it's about the writer of the TV hit series Empire. He's the writer or director of the new TV series Empire. Had to say this. This is what he has to say about homosexuality. His name is Waleed Solomon, and he's with his significant other. Make sure I'm giving you the right name. No, that's not. I'm sorry. That is the wrong name. I'm reading the article wrong. Let me go ahead and read this article. This is the person who actually posted it on Facebook. But let me go ahead and read the article. He says, homophobia is rampant in the African-American community, and men are on the down low about being gay. They don't come out and they're killing our women. So I wanted to blow the lid off of it and of homophobia in our community by creating a TV show called Empire. So this director can admit that the gay lifestyle is a death style that is killing our women. But in the same breath, he wants to make a show that will champion that very same death style to our men anyway. The insanity that comes out of this person's mouth, this is the person who wrote this article that I'm reading, that I'm quoting, floors me sometimes. Nothing is more convoluted and contradictory than a man whose mind has wholeheartedly consumed the foolishness of Western society. Okay, Lee Daniels says that the character of Lucius, so I'm assuming that Lee Daniels is the one who wrote it, says that the character of Lucius is partially based on his own father. When he was a boy, Daniels beat him up after walking in on his son dressed in a pair of his mother's red pumps. There can no doubt, after watching this TV series, that there is a homosexual agenda being forced on black people, because there are enough celebrity heavyweights on this show to attract a sizable audience, which means that there was a decent enough budget allocated for the financing of this TV series. When I watched a few episodes, this is the person who wrote this article. I have never watched it myself, but I'm reading, quoting what this person is saying. When I watched a few episodes, all I could see was a deliberate attempt to create sympathy for the homosexual character by intentionally making him the smarter one, more gifted, and more compassionate one of all the members in the family. The entire show is centered around a gay character named Jamal, played by Jussie Smollett, and then it shows you a vicious Terrence Howard who struggles with accepting his son's sexuality. The black mother is being positioned against the father on the issue that she's accepting of the son wearing her heels and underwear, and this creates a rift between the mother and father, with the father managing their heterosexual son in ways of chauvinism, while the mother manages the homosexual son and grooms him into a great talented singer. The moral character of heterosexuals in this family is completely dysfunctional, while the homosexual character is being positioned as the only qualified heir to the empire. The entire series thus far reminds me of the kind of dramas that are being portrayed in ancient Greek and Roman plays, that were often portrayed in Greek and ancient Roman plays, while the ruler's treacherous children are all vying for the wicked emperor's approval. Okay, so basically what he's saying here in this article is that they make, in this show, they're making the homosexual character be the good person, while the heterosexual is all messed up. And so basically, again, it's demonic. That's all it is. That's all you can call it. It's demonic, and it's the devil trying to get his agenda across. And so, therefore, many Christians are watching this mess. Okay, moving on. Why Bonner, I believe they said how you pronounce his name, bowed out. This is our former, well, he's not former yet, but he's supposed to be out of office, Speaker of the House, why he's leaving. Well, we know why he was so emotional yesterday. John Boehner, a devout Catholic, had wanted to see a Pope address the United States, his U.S. Congress, for 20 years. But now the Pope has left Washington for Boehner, it would have been an all downhill from there. No wonder he's resigning, not only as Speaker of the House, but from Congress altogether. Boehner faced yet again the threat of a full-scale revolt from conservatives if he refused to bring forward legislation to shut down the government in order to protest Planned Parenthood. Add to that to the struggle to pay for an extension of the highway fund, the looming vote to extend the federal debt ceiling, all set against the backdrop of an angry and energized conservative base that has given Boehner no quarter and, in fact, has come to dislike him actively, so much so that they were callousing around presidential candidates who are running as much against the GOP leadership as they are against the Democratic president. No wonder Boehner bowed out. Okay, so we know that the government has been threatening to shut down Republicans, GOP, has threatened to shut down the government if there was no vote for us shutting down funds going to Planned Parenthood. Now, I'm going to say this. Nobody wants the government to shut down. Okay, we do not want the government to shut down. When the government shuts down, that means that people do not get their checks and veterans do not get their pensions. And so it actually is not a good thing when the government shuts down. However, if the government shutting down means that it's going to save babies' lives, then by all means. Every day, babies are being aborted. And they're being torn limb for limb. And as we saw in the videos, you know, they're selling baby parts and harvesting their organs and putting it on the market. And this is not of God. Not of God. So, no, we don't want the government to shut down, but we want the government to do what is right. That means defund Planned Parenthood. We do not need our funds going to an organization that is murderers. We should have never had any government funds. So you mean that we're working our taxes, our tax dollars is going to fund somebody's abortion? This should never be. This should never be. So we have no choice in where our tax dollars is going. Knowing that our tax dollars is going to kill children, because these babies are children. And I don't care what stage of development they're at, they're still children. These are lives. And so, yes, if the government has to shut down just to save lives, then so be it. But let's make sure that they are doing exactly what they're saying they're going to do. Because, you know, you've had enough talk in Washington. I want to get to something. I was going to read about 60 Minutes just did an interview with Putin. And I wanted to get to that story, and I'm not able to find where I put that story at. And so I thought I had got it, but I didn't. Okay, but you know what? Let me go on to this next article, because, you know, our time is running out, because we're keeping everything within the hour. So we're going to just keep on pushing, and music will be coming back. I normally play some music, my intro and my commercials, and but you know what? Bear with me, because October the 1st is going to be rolling different. So I plan on having everything up and running a little bit different on October the 1st. I pray that you are that these broadcasts be a blessing to you. I love coming and bringing you the broadcasts and the news, and so I pray that they're a blessing to you. And if these broadcasts are a blessing to you, I ask that you will go on my website and donate toward the cause, or either buy a book, buy some books. You know, when you buy the books, they help to further the cause of this ministry as well. So please purchase books, or, you know, Christmas is coming. I know a lot of you, some people are into Christmas. If you are, that's fine. If you're not, that's fine. But purchase books to spread the cause of the gospel, and also helps us in our ministry. All right. Obama clashes with Pope on Kim Davis and religious freedom. This is a very interesting article, to say the least, with this. Okay, President, my screen just went white on me, and I got to make sure that it comes back up. So hopefully my screen comes. Okay, now it's back up. Thank you, God. Okay, Obama clashes with Pope on Kim Davis and religious freedom. It goes on to say that Pope Francis and President Barack Obama were on opposite sides of the ongoing dispute between religious freedom and gay rights. Now, as we know, President Obama, he's been pushing his gay agenda for the longest. And so, the Catholic Church has not actually been for that. At least they say they're not. Pope Francis and President Obama were on opposite sides of the ongoing dispute between religious freedom and gay rights in separate remarks. Obama said on Sunday that freedom of religion does not mean that any American soldier should be denied their constitutional rights, and suggested that traditional marriage supporters need to catch up to the rest of the country, which, no, we don't. We're supposed to stand on the word of God. So it doesn't matter what this president says. If it goes against the word of God, see, this is why when you had people like T.D. Jakes, Rick Warren, with the Purpose Driven Life, and Joel Osteen. So T.D. Jakes, Rick Warren with Purpose Driven Life, and Joel Osteen. When you had these evangelicals going up to this thing with this Pope, you know, they taking Rick Warren Rick Warren and T.D. Jakes, they're taking pictures with each other because they're at the Pope's event. See, that's what lets you know that they are a false prophets, false teachers, because they got VIP invitations from President Obama, the White House. And so they were proudly cheesing that they had been invited and had gotten a VIP, and they were able to go to this event. But this is not of God, and they should have been speaking the truth, and they were not speaking the truth. Therefore, they should have been telling the president, no, this homosexual agenda is wrong. But they weren't going to do it. They weren't going to do it because they wanted to fit in. So he says here that that traditional marriage supporters need to catch up to the rest of the world. No, we need to follow the word of God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Pope Francis has meanwhile said that the conscientious objection of human right, said that conscientious objection, a human right, when asked about the Kim Davis case. Quote, "We affirm that we cherish our religious freedom and are profoundly respectful of religious traditions," Obama told members of the LGBT on Sunday, according to CBS. "But we also have to say clearly that our religious freedom doesn't grant us the freedom to deny our Americans their constitutional rights." This comes from Obama. And that even as we are respectful and accommodating genuine concerns and interests of religious institutions, we need to reject politicians who are supporting new forms of discrimination as a way to scare up votes. That's not how we move America forward, Obama said. Now, you know what the thing is, and it's sickening. I'm getting sick of hearing Obama with his gay self, his gay agenda, okay? I'm sick of hearing it. We don't want this stuff forced down our throats. We don't want this. And instead of these quacks of pastors, these mega pastors, telling the truth and telling Obama that he needs to stop with this ungodliness, they're celebrating with, oh, we got invited to the Pope or nothing else. Come on, man. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're not supposed to be compromisers. We're supposed to be standing up for what thus said the Lord. And many people are not willing to stand up. They're weak. They don't want to stand up for anything, and because they don't want to be told that they're religious bigots, and they don't want to be called names, and they scared that somebody might say something against them. Well, so what? They spoke about Jesus. They talked about Jesus. Okay, who cares? Who cares? But, you know, today's time, these leaders, they don't want to teach and speak the truth. Moving on. The world is watching what to expect from Putin's meeting with Obama. So, as we know, Vladimir Putin is supposed to be meeting with Obama. They haven't met in over a year, it seems like. So what is going to happen here when they do finally have this meeting? It says, as Presidents Putin and Obama are expected to meet on the sidelines of the 70th session of the UN General Assembly in New York, their first face-to-face meeting since two 15-minute conversations in 2014. Political analysts are attempting to predict whether the two will make decisions or simply familiarize themselves with each other's positions. Okay, let's know this. Will the U.S. and Russia be friends? No, not. I don't care if there's peace treaties or what. No, they will not be friends. We do know the United States is going down. And who's going to be responsible? Who is going to be one of the ones that's going to destroy America? And a lot of people have said that God has given them this revelation that Russia is going to be if it's going to be one of the ones that destroy America. And I truly believe that is, and if you read Bible prophecy, again, America's not in it, but you will see the other nations that will be taking part. It says Russia and foreign political analysts are divided on their expectations with what will take place during the upcoming meeting between the state, between heads of state, Putin and Obama. Okay. So only thing they can do right now is speculate. They really don't know what's going to happen between the two until it actually happens. So I'm not going to read the speculation, but the thing is that we do know that they are not chummy anymore. And America has put, you know, United States has put sanctions on, you know, constant sanctions on Russia. And so I want to pull up. Let me see if I can pull this up, because I want to pull up about the 60-minute interview with Vladimir Putin. So let me see here if I can pull up, 60-minute interview with Vladimir Putin. Okay, let me see if I can pull that up. And sorry, I don't already have this together. You know, I had this morning I got a chance to pray with this man, and this older man, he's like 75 years old, and he was going through a court case where they illegally evicted him, and he was living in his vehicle, and so he's got a court appearance he's suing for this illegal eviction that was done, and so anyway, I got a chance to, you know, pray with him this morning and pray that God gives justice, because, you know, he let me know a bunch of things that had went on, and it's not right when, you know, seniors are done wrong. And so I got a chance to pray with this this elderly man, and I pray that God will bless him in the process of his court trial, and that God will give him the justice that he deserves. Okay, I'm going to read this article, and then we're going to go to the Word of God. All eyes on Putin. At a time of icy relations with the U.S.-Russian president, Vladimir Putin gives a rare and surprising interview to 60 Minutes. The following is a script of Putin, which aired on September the 27th, 2015, which was yesterday. And so I'm going to go ahead and read some of this. It says, there aren't many world leaders who have generated as much interest as Russia's Vladimir Putin. All eyes will be on Putin when he speaks at the UN tomorrow, and which is today, and meets with President Obama at a time when he has placed himself and his country in the middle of the most pressing issues of our time. He has helped the U.S. and his Western allies broker the nuclear deal with Iran, and now with a Russian buildup of aircraft, military equipment, and personnel in Syria, he has put himself and his country at the center of that civil war and fight against ISIS. Now, when his relations with the United States seems to be at a post-Cold War low, suffering under economic sanctions imposed on Russia, Putin may be looking for a different way to restore his international influence and gain the respect he seeks for his homeland. Just before his trip to the U.S., Putin invited us to meet him at his state residence outside Moscow, where he found himself characteristically confident and combative as he made the case that focus in Syria should be on fighting ISIS rather than removing Syrian President Assad. And I do agree with that. So Russian President Vladimir Putin told 60 Minutes that basically they need to, the U.S. should not be focused on trying to move Assad. They should be focused on getting rid of ISIS. And I 100% agree with that. Okay, moving on. It goes on to say, Charlie Rose says, how would you like to join the United States in the fight against ISIS? That's part of why you're there. Others think that while that may be part of your goal, you're trying to serve the Assad administration because they're losing ground and the war has not been going well for them, and you're there to rescue them. This is President Putin's response. Well, you're right. We support the legitimate government of Syria, and it's my deep belief that any actions to the contrary in order to destroy the legitimate government will create a situation which you can witness now in the other countries of the region or in other regions. For instance, in Libya, where all the state institutions are disintegrated, we see a similar situation in Iraq, and there is no other solution to the Syrian crisis than strengthening the effective government structures and rendering them help in fighting terrorism, but at the same time urging them to engage in positive dialogue with the rational opposition and conduct reform. Then Charlie Rose says, so you know some of the coalition partners see President Assad go first before they will want to see President Assad go first before they will support. Then President Putin's response, I like to recommend to them the following. They should send this message to the Syrian people. It's only the Syrian people who are entitled to decide who should govern their country and how. Then Charlie Rose says, President Assad, you support him. Do you agree that he is doing what he is doing in Syria and what is happening to those Syrian people, those many millions of refugees and the hundreds of thousands of people that have been killed, many by their own force? Then President Putin responds, well, tell me, what do you think about those who support the opposition and mainly the terrorist organizations only in order to oust Assad without thinking about what will happen to the country after all the government institutions have been demolished? Today, you have repeatedly said that Assad is fighting against his own population, but look at those who are in control of 60% of the territory in Syria. It is controlled by either ISIS or by others. Then Charlie Rose says, Al Nusra, than President Putin says, such as Al-Nusra and other organizations. They are recognized as terrorist organizations by the United States, by other states, and by the United States. Then Charlie Rose go on to say, are you prepared to put Russian combat troops on the ground in Syria if it means to defeat ISIS? Then President Putin says, Russia will not participate in any troop operations in the territory of Syria or in any other states. Well, at least we don't plan on it right now. But we are considering intensifying our works with both President Assad and our partners in other countries. Okay, we don't have time to read this whole interview. This interview is very, very interesting, and our time is limited, but I'm going to post it on my Facebook page. So if you're following me on Facebook, you'll be able to read this interview. I'm going to let me make sure I'm going to post it right now. So let me make sure I get it up where it can be posted. And this will be on my Facebook page. So if you're interested in reading this, please do so up under KL Rich Ministries. I'm going to post it right now. Again, it's up under KL Rich Ministries. I'm trying to get this posted, so we'll see how this goes if it is able to post. Again, that's up under KL Rich Ministries. Okay, we're going to go to the Word of God. And I want to... Oh, there were so many articles I didn't get a chance to get to, but you know what? I got a little distracted this morning by, you know, the gentleman I was talking to you about, and I was praying with him, but you know what? We'll be back on Wednesday, and Wednesday we'll get through a lot of more headlines, and because we're going to be doing everything within an hour, but we will get to a lot more headlines. I'm going to make sure that I have everything summed up so we can just run through the headlines and then get to the Word of God as we should. Okay, we're going to go to Mark chapter 11. That's Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And I want to read the starting at verse 1 because due to what took place over the weekend, we want to make sure that we know what thus said the Lord about what took place this weekend with the Pope. Okay, I'm making sure that I post this to my website. So you can go on there for those of you who are interested in reading this full interview. Interview. I'm sorry about that. Let me okay, what was that? Hold on just a minute. I do apologize. There's a commercial that is playing that I did not try to play. Okay, I do apologize for that. Okay, but what happened this weekend? Were you all paying attention to all this, all the things that was going on with this Pope coming to the United States? It was like people lost their minds and, oh, the Pope is here, the Pope is here. And you wondering, are you all worshiping Jesus Christ like you worship this Pope? I mean, because if you were, you would not be worshiping this Pope. This Pope has not done anything for you. This Pope has not died for your sins. And so, therefore, why are you worshiping a man, just a mere man? And this is, you know, God, I know, was not pleased with what took place. You know, this man is taking his glory. And as we know, God is a jealous God, and he doesn't want anyone to have his glory. So why were people worshiping the Pope? And we're going to go to Mark chapter 11. And because the way when you watched him coming through, it kind of reminded you of him trying to emulate Jesus. The only thing, Jesus wasn't on a donkey, but I mean, Jesus was on a donkey. But one of the things the Pope said, and we know that is not true. And if you do not know, you need to get in your word. He said that there was failure, that Jesus failed at the cross. Jesus' mission was accomplished at the cross. He came and did what he was supposed to do, and that was to die for our sins. There was no failure on the cross. Where did the Pope get that Jesus failed on the cross? See, that's heretical. It's blasphemy. He's blaspheming Jesus, the name of Jesus. Jesus did not fail on the cross. He came, he accomplished what he was meant to do. And therefore, there was no failure on the cross. See, the devil wants you to believe that there was a failure on the cross, but there was no failure on the cross. God came and did exactly what he came, what his mission was. And his mission was to die for our sins so that we may have a right to the tree of life. See, the reason the Pope wants you to think that Jesus failed at the cross, because it excuses them for having a priest to confess their sins to, and it makes him, I'm trying to understand this. How did Jesus fail at the cross? But let's go through this. I want to read Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse, and we're going to start at verse 1. And it reads, as they approached Jerusalem, let me pause just a minute here, okay, making sure this gets on your Facebook page. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell them, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found the colt outside of the street and tied it at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying the colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who follow ahead and those who follow shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So Mark is telling us here about Jesus' triumphant entry. And this was 1 week prior to his crucifixion on the cross. And this is what many call Palm Sunday. And so Jesus, he told the disciples to go get a donkey. And so they spread their cloaks over the donkey, and he rode through Jerusalem. All right. He was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, still is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And no one, no earthly person deserves that type of authority outside of Christ. But the Pope, as he was riding, people said, oh, he rode in this cheap car. It was only $20,000. And he wanted, he made himself appear to be humble. And it was like he was trying to emulate what Jesus did by riding through Jerusalem. Now, yes, there's been popes that have, gone through the crowd and people come and gather and all of that. Yes. But when they do that, what they're doing is saying, hail to me, hail, like they say, Hail Mary, full of grace. You don't pay anybody that kind of recognition other than God. You had people talking about your holiness, he's the Prince of Peace. Recognition that goes to God. And this Pope had people falling at him and celebrating, talking about bless him, bless them. But the thing is, we see how they acted with regards to this Pope. But people are actually doing it every day with their own pastors who are in the pulpits. Instead of them studying the word of God for themselves. Yes, I'm not saying never have a pastor. What I'm saying is, you're supposed to have a relationship with God for yourself. The pastors, your bishops, leaders are supposed to tell you to have a relationship with God for yourself. They're just a messenger of God, but they don't replace God. And those are two different things. I can come and teach you the word of God, but my teaching does not replace your relationship with God. My teaching does not replace what you're supposed to do in your own time, your own studying with God, to allow God to be able to open up things to you. And let me go on, because one thing it shows us in the next few verses is that, you know, people will take what's God's and turn it into a mockery. And it says, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. As he taught them, he said, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of robbers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When that evening came, they went out of the city. So it says here that Jesus overturned the tables of money changers and benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. This means that Jesus did not even allow them. When he overturned the money changers, he did not even allow them to bring the merchandise in there. And this, you know, this says a lot. And I was telling someone the other day, because, you know, what we have found in churches is you have your cafes, you have your bookstores, you have, and I was listening to, a news station this weekend, True News, and they were interviewing this lady who was given a word from God, and it actually convicted me on something never to do. And when I read this, and I'm seeing just how far away that we as the body of Christ have gotten with regards to the things of God, it just let me know that there's a lot more changes that we have to make, because what was said on the interview was that what God was saying was that we've turned his house into basically like a business of entertainment. It's like a house of entertainment rather than a house of prayer. And we've, you know, with the bookstores and the cafes and the rock bands and concert, and looking like a church with crosses and reverence, and we've turned it into something that looks just casual for entertainment purposes, and we're doing anything and everything in them. And what this convicted me of, you know, I write books. I'm an author. I write books. But, and at first, you know, I had no problem with doing this, but now I do, and I said I won't do it. And I made that vow, you know, make that vow to God, I won't do this. And one thing I would not do is I would not do a book signing with selling any books at a church. At first, I didn't know there was anything wrong with it. You know, I would see authors come and to churches and do their book signings and selling their books and the books in the bookstores. And I never knew there was anything wrong with it. But then now I am convicted, especially with reading Mark and how Jesus would not even let them bring the merchandise through the temple. He overturned the tables and he wouldn't even let them bring the merchandise in. He didn't want any selling. He said this is a house of prayer. So that means that if Jesus didn't want any selling during that time, then he definitely doesn't want it now. It's definitely not okay now. So as for me, you know, if I'm ever invited to a church, whatever books I bring, those will be books that I'm going to give for free. I won't be doing any book signings at a church. I won't be selling any books at a church. Some people are like, well, how are you going to market? You know what? I'm just going to leave that to God. Because God is the one who had me write the books, and God is the one who will promote the books. But for as me selling any books, I will not sell any books at a church myself. I will not sell any books at a church. I don't want my books to even be, you know, and I didn't know how offensive that was to God to be selling materials at a church. And so when I read this, and I know some people might say, oh, well, there's nothing wrong. But see, when you read this word, when Jesus overturned the money tables and when Jesus wouldn't even let them bring the merchandise in there to sell, it lets us know that we're not really supposed to be selling books inside the church, because the church is God's house. And if God didn't like it then, he definitely doesn't like it now. So for me, I won't be selling any books in a church, inside a church building. I won't be, if someone asks me to do a book signing, I would not be selling books inside a church. God, you know, if people want to buy the books, they can go to my website, go to Amazon.com. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord the way God has told me. If you or someone you know has not accepted Jesus into your heart, I ask that you say this prayer with me and lead others to this prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. Fill me, cleanse me, make me anew. I accept Jesus as the Son of the living God. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, from all of my sins. Have mercy on me. Clean me, Lord. Make me anew. And if you have said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent his son down here to die for you. And all you have to do is accept him into your heart today. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And allow God to do a work in you. God bless you. We will be back Wednesday. And with more news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And I'm going to make sure that we have those articles all geared up and ready. We didn't do as many headlines as we normally do. But you know what? Ministry came first today, and I had to minister with someone. And so I didn't get a chance to really sit down and do all the articles that I normally would do. But you know what? God bless you. And then again, these broadcasts, if you want to listen to these broadcasts in their entirety, at any time now, you can go to KLRichMinistries.com and click on the radio broadcast, and it will automatically start playing. I would normally have them posted after 12 p.m. in the day for that new day. So it will automatically start playing. So you don't have to, if you have the right browsers or whatever, automatically start playing, or you have to push the play button depending upon what browser you are working with. And if you are not able to listen to it on my website, you can again still go to Evangelist K.O. Rich under YouTube and click on the latest radio broadcast from there. All right, God bless you until next time. This is Evangelist K.O. Rich with It Is Finished.